Let us help you do your best work. Acme Tools on Blairs Ferry Road in Cedar Rapids.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
It's time for some straight talk. The big wireless companies charge a boatload for their superior network coverage. But guess what? Straight Talk uses the same cell towers but charges a lot less. Who knew? Well, now you do. And I do. So let's do something. It's time to switch to Straight Talk. Unlimited plans start as low as $35 a month on America's largest, most dependable networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
AutoZone presents your headlights. As the days get shorter, your headlights need to shine at their brightest. And upgrading to a brighter light can really maximize your safety. Right now, get a $10 AutoZone gift card by mail when you buy two single Sylvania Silver Star Ultra Headlight Capsules or a twin pack. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner, so you can fix your car with confidence. Let's get you what you need. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
I'm Ari Wolf with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. At the Fall League meeting Wednesday, Commissioner Roger Goodell said the NFL wants all players to stand for the national anthem, but there will be no new rule forcing them to stand. The commissioner also commended the players for their commitment to raising awareness for a wide array of social issues. The Colts say Andrew Luck will not practice this week after he experienced soreness in his surgically repaired right shoulder. The team would not say when or even if Luck would play this year. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reports Seahawks DN Cliff Averill is heading to injured reserve and may consider retirement due to a lingering neck injury. In other injury news, Sam Bradford and Stephon Diggs both did not practice for the Vikings Wednesday. Neither did the Jags' Leonard Fournette or Denver's Demaryius Thomas. And the newly signed Navarro Bowman will make his Raider debut Thursday night as the Silver and Black host the Chiefs in a game you can watch live on NFL Network starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Networks Advanced Firewall Solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
What if hiring could be easier, with more qualified candidates and faster results? What if hiring could be smarter? Thanks to ZipRecruiter, it can be. With one click, post your job to over 100 top job boards. Then, their smart technology notifies the most qualified candidates to apply. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Try ZipRecruiter free at ZipRecruiter.com/blog.
5:06, welcome in or welcome back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Hour number two getting kicked off here shortly with Will Raggetts of SB Nation. We'll talk Northwestern and Iowa. 11 a.m. kickoff at Ryan Field on Saturday as the Hawkeyes look to continue their winning ways in the Big Ten and even that conference record at 2-2 coming off the bye week. Iowa State's on the road at Texas Tech this weekend. Alex Halstead of Cyclone Alert on the 24/7 Sports Network will be along at the bottom of the hour. Iowa State fans, just a reminder, join us on Monday. We will recap the Texas Tech game with John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, and send somebody to the homecoming game. Iowa State hosting TCU next weekend. Craig Adamson of True Wealth Stewardship has provided a couple tickets to that homecoming game, and we're happy to pass those along. And Craig does a terrific job of sponsoring John Walters every Monday at 4:30 on the program. Big Ten Media Day for men's basketball in New York City. The Hawkeyes hit Times Square last night. I don't know if people saw that photo on Twitter or not, but I don't know how this is being received or how it's going over in New York City today, a place where there are thousands of things going on every day, whether it even registers that Big Ten Media Day is there or not. But the big news today, as Kyle has highlighted on the Big Board updates, the Big Ten officially going to a 20-game conference schedule moving forward next season. That report had come out, I would say, a couple months ago. So it's not exactly breaking news, but it is now official Big Ten policy. And the women are going from playing 16 games in conference play to 18 games in conference play. I don't know why they don't play more conference games. It's probably something very obvious to me that I'm completely oblivious to, but changes coming for both Lisa Bluter and Fran McCaffrey moving forward. As we mentioned, baseball news today, former Minnesota Twins manager Ron Gardenhire back in a Major League dugout and back in the American League Central. Ken Rosenthal, now of TheAthletic.com, reporting that Gardenhire is the choice to manage the Detroit Tigers. Baseball continues tonight at Wrigley Field. It's Game 5 of the National League Championship Series, and we will have it for you on our two FM frequencies. Our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, will Clayton Kershaw carry the Dodgers to their first World Series appearance since 1988 tonight at Wrigley Field? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. It's hard to believe that the Dodgers have not been back to the World Series since they upset the Oakland Athletics in 1988 Game 1. One of the most famous World Series home runs of all time, right up there with Bill Mazeroski, Joe Carter. You had Kirk Gibson hobbling up to the plate and hits that backdoor slider off Dennis Eckersley, and all those red lights in the parking lot as they were leaving Dodger Stadium, just hitting everybody hitting the brakes as they were listening to the radio call of Kirk Gibson's home run, which we just celebrated the anniversary of the other night as Justin Turner homered to beat the Cubs. But he homered last night and didn't beat the Cubs, a 3-2 win forcing Game 5 tonight. Joining us now on the program, Will Raggetts of SBNation.com's Northwestern site Inside NU. And Will, there's a big game in Evanston on Saturday, the Hawkeyes and the Wildcats. And what is it about these two teams when they get together over, say, the last 12 to 15 years, it's a pretty evenly matched affair, even when one team looks to be better?
Yeah, I don't know, but it seems like we've always had good games between these two teams, with the exception of 2015 and 2014. But last year was a thrilling game in Iowa City, and then like the 8 or 9 years before that, a lot of really close games. So I know Pat Fitzgerald hates Iowa. He always wants to beat Iowa, talks about having a little rivalry there. So it should be a good one on Saturday for sure.
Well, this was a team that a lot of people thought could be the dark horse pick in the Big Ten West. They've had their ups and downs so far. What have been the Achilles heel of this heels of this football team so far this season?
Well, on the field, the biggest problem has been the offensive line. It's a group that has been much maligned in recent years. There was some optimism that it would be improved this year, but it's really struggled in Northwestern's losses. Gave up 8 sacks against Wisconsin. Wasn't great against Penn State either. But, I mean, that kind of leads into the other problem, which is Northwestern's played 2 top 5 teams. Penn State's currently number 2, Wisconsin's number 5. And Northwestern did hang with Wisconsin, but Penn State was too much at home. So 2 of those 3 losses have been against elite squads. But on the field, it's been the offensive line. The pass rush hasn't been great. And Clayton Thorson's thrown 9 interceptions, which has led Northwestern to a -6 turnover margin.
What can Thorson do to get back on track? Because the expectations for him coming into the year were pretty high, and it's safe to say, as you mentioned there with the interceptions, he's struggled a little bit this year.
Yeah, he's definitely struggled. He was a guy who, coming into the year, talked about as potentially leaving early for the NFL after this redshirt junior season if he played well. But he's got a lot of improvement to make. I think he struggled a little bit without having his go-to guy, Austin Carr, last year, who had over 1,200 receiving yards. So it's been, the offensive line has let him down a little bit. He hasn't had a lot of time to throw in certain situations, but he's also made a lot of bad decisions, getting out of the pocket and making bad throws on the run. He's just got to kind of relax, trust his fundamentals, because he's a guy with a lot of arm talent, a lot of athleticism. If the offensive line can give him time and he can make smart decisions, he's got all the talent to turn this around.
You mentioned Austin Carr and his departure after last season. The receiving core coming into the year was one of the big question marks for this team. How have they performed so far this season?
They've been all right. They've been up and down. There hasn't been one guy to kind of step up and fill that Austin Carr role, which we didn't think there would be since that was one of the best seasons in Northwestern history last year. But there's been five guys between like 180 and 300 yards receiving. So it's been a group effort. Flynn Nagel, the slot receiver, leads the team in receptions. He was projected to step up into that number one role, but he's had kind of a slow start. So they'll look to get him going for sure. Bennett Skoranek is a big target on the outside, who had a couple big games in the non-conference slate, but's been quiet in the Big Ten. So they have struggled to get separation at times, but part of that has been due to Dorsen not having a lot of time to get them the ball. So it all kind of works together. When the line is protecting them, these receivers have the ability to get open and make some plays down the field.
What type of day do you anticipate Justin Jackson having on Saturday?
It's a good question. He was really, really good last week against Maryland, had his big breakout game of his senior year so far. He's been banged up early in the year, so struggled due to game flow and also due to being hurt. But last week, 171 yards against Maryland, two touchdowns, moved into first place in Northwestern history in rushing yards. So they'll definitely look to get him going again this week. And I think he could have a pretty big game. He did run for 170 last year in Iowa City. So it'll be a very interesting matchup to watch. I mean, Saquon Barkley had a huge game on the ground against Iowa earlier this year, but that's also Saquon Barkley. Josie Jewell is a heck of a player. So that's going to be a great matchup to watch. But I think Jackson can get over that 100-yard mark.
Speaking of Saquon Barkley, he really had his struggles in that game at Ryan Field. Is it a concerted effort for Pat Fitzgerald and his defense to take away the running game, and is that going to be a big point of emphasis against Akram Wadley and the Hawkeyes?
Oh, it absolutely is. That's been their number one focus this year on the defensive side of the ball, has been taking away the running game. Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin, leading the Big Ten in rushing by a wide margin, held to 80 yards against Northwestern. Saquon Barkley was at -1 yards at the half and only had a decent line because he broke a 50-yard run late. But, I mean, Northwestern's been one of the top run defenses in the conference, if not the country, this year. Linebackers Patty Fisher and Nate Hall are having awesome seasons. The defensive line has been stout against the run. So I think they'll look to limit Wadley, who gashed Northwestern for 200 yards last time he was at Ryan Field in 2015.
Talking Northwestern football with Will Raggetts of SB Nation's Inside NU website, what does Northwestern need to do to win the game on Saturday, in your opinion?
Well, the big thing, as is the case with most football games, is going to be winning the turnover battle, because Thorson's thrown 9 interceptions this year. I was averaging, I think, almost 2 picks a game. So that's going to be key if Thorson can limit the bad decisions. Got to get Justin Jackson going. I don't know what the stat is, but Northwestern's record when Justin Jackson rushes for 100 yards is ridiculously better than when he does not. And then the offensive line has to protect Clayton Thorson, ideally hold Iowa to a sack or two. So if those things can happen, I think Northwestern's got a decent shot on Saturday.
Northwestern came into the game last year at 1-3, and that Iowa win really, I thought, jump-started their season. They reeled off 3 in a row before making a bowl game to wrap that season up. What do you remember about that game, and how were they able to get their season on track just about a year ago?
That was a really fun game. I was actually there at Kinnick for that one, and there wasn't a lot of expectation coming in. Northwestern had a really slow start to that year, but they just kind of came out and played inspired. Austin Carr had 3 touchdowns, had a huge game. Justin Jackson had his biggest game of the year on the ground. The defense made some plays, late game-sealing interception. So I just remember that one being a lot of fun, and then them Northwestern using the energy from that game and that offensive performance specifically to start a rally down the season and make a good bowl game, knock down Pitt in that bowl game. They almost took down Ohio State late in the year. So that was really a springboard for some later success after its slow start.
What did Pat Fitzgerald have to say about the Hawkeyes this week?
Pat Fitzgerald was really high on the Hawkeyes. He praised Wadley. He's got a lot of respect for Kirk Ferentz and this team. But I think he emphasized a lot of the same things that he emphasizes every week, which is getting the ground game going, was going to be important, things of that nature. He talked about the return of Patty Fisher and Godwin Ogbuike from targeting penalties that they had in the Penn State game. So they missed the first half of that Maryland game, and talked about how having those two guys, which are the two best defensive players on this team, for the whole game against Iowa is going to be big. He praised Northwestern kicker Charlie Kubander, who's been good recently. But, yeah, I mean, he has a lot of respect for Wadley, a lot of respect for Nathan Stanley as well. So really just thinks it's going to be a good game.
Offensively, these two teams really like to try to get the running game established. Defensively, their front sevens are their strengths. Is this game looking like it could be a slugfest?
I think that's certainly a possibility. I think the, like you said, there's going to be a lot of pounding the ball up the middle, which might not lead to a ton of success early, but it might be a question of which team can kind of wear the other front seven down and start to get some big plays in the run game going in the third and fourth quarter. And then I think there will definitely be some potential for explosive pass plays in this game. I don't think it'll be a throwback Big Ten, 10-7 game, I think. But both of these quarterbacks are talented and have some targets in the passing game that they can throw to. But the running game, it's always going to start and end with that in this one.
Alex, before we let you go, I'm sorry, I was looking at my co-host Alex here. Before we let you go, it's Big Ten Basketball Media Day in New York City today. What's the outlook for Chris Collins and the Cats on the court this year?
It's really good. Northwestern, some of the football struggles early this year, we've started jokingly talking about ourselves as a basketball school. Northwestern ranked number 20 in the coaches poll that just came out today, returning almost everyone, losing just a couple contributors from last year's tournament team. So the outlook is really, really strong for this Northwestern basketball team, led by Brian McIntosh, Scotty Lindsey, Vic Law, a lot of experienced talent that is going to look to get back to the tournament and go even a little farther this year.
All right, Will Raggetts of Inside NU on the SB Nation site. We appreciate it as always. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Northwestern and Iowa kicking off at 11 o'clock, and I believe the Hawkeyes are now the favorite on the boards in Las Vegas.
Point and a half, right?
About a point and a half to 2 points, depending on where you shop around for your number, but we picked it as a pick'em on the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 earlier today, and again, if you're just joining us, Scott Unash goes off the board first, followed by Mark Dukes, me, Sean Krantz, then Kyle, and Alex brings up the rear. Somebody's going to win a $30 gift card to Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub in Iowa City. And speaking of Iowa City, that's where we're going to be tomorrow. We'll tell you a little bit more about that coming up in just a bit. Take an opportunity if you are interested and feel like any of these fit you. If I start talking about a loss of memory, a lack of energy, not sleeping very well at night, a low sex drive, that could all trace back to something referred to as low T, low testosterone. As we mentioned yesterday, it's more common than you would think. And of course, with guys being guys, no one wants to talk about anything like that. It makes you feel uncomfortable. You're probably shifting around nervously in your chair or your car, wherever you're listening to me tell you about this right now. LowTUSA.com is a website you may want to consider checking out, because if you go there, you're going to learn more about Mantality, which is a local men's health clinic, which can help you out with a simple blood draw. Once you make your first appointment, you go in, they check you out, they draw your blood, run your labs, and they can tell you whether or not you're a candidate for their low T treatment, which should be covered by insurance, and that's always good news, right? You don't want to pay too much money out of pocket. Here's even better news. Everything, as far as treatment goes, shipped right to you. No going to the pharmacy, no standing in line. The last time I was at the pharmacy, it took 10 minutes. Not to get the prescription filled, because it was already filled. It was in the bag. I could see it behind the counter in the little crate with your last name on it. And it just, they're so busy there all the time. It's just a real pain in the rear end. Drop shipped it right to your door, lowtusa.com. Where is Mantality? It's in North Liberty, right between Iowa City and Coralville. Couldn't be easier. LowTUSA.com is the website to check out. 522. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. And yes, I really did call a guest, Alex. I don't know what. Here's what I was.
It happens.
I was trying to multitask, and I was conversing with Tone on the text line about Alex Cora, who is most likely going to be the new manager of the Boston Red Sox. And you are named Alex. You are my co-host. And I tried to rename a guest Alex. And now I feel like a giant jackass. Well, 5:23.
I was going to say I accidentally called you by the wrong name one time, too. So it happens. And
that's all
you
right.
Shouldn't feel
for,
like a jackass.
For 3 years in this building, I don't think the boss knew whether I was Balbinot or Brommelkamp. That's a true story. Every third interaction, I would be referred to as the other person. 319-366-1600, that's the Hertine and Stocker text line. Hertine and Stocker located in downtown Iowa City, bringing you the text line. Also a Cubs report on the way today as well. 5:23, step aside and take a quick break. Alex is saying that Cubs report may be right around the corner. Back with more after this.
It's the Cubs Report, brought to you by Hertine and Stocker Jewelers on the Pet Mall in downtown Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street. Stop in and congratulate Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate on 70 years in business. One of them is always there.
It seemed unlikely after Los Angeles jumped out to a 3-0 lead in the NLCS, but there will be a Game 5 tonight at Wrigley Field. That's the good news following Wednesday's 3-2 Cubs win. The bad news? In order for the series to return to the West Coast, the Cubs will have to beat Clayton Kershaw again. Manager Joe Maddon's already being questioned for his decision to start switch-hitting Ben Zobrist in right field over lefty Jason Hayward. The latter plays much better defense, and Kershaw actually has more success against right-handed batters than lefties like Hayward. Adding to the Cubs' issues tonight, they'll be without closer Wade Davis, who was utilized for a 6-out save last night. After back-to-back 8 p.m. starts, it's a 7 o'clock first pitch at Wrigley tonight. If you don't know by now, you can catch the game on TBS or hear it on both of our KGYM FM frequencies.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier football team upped their record to 8-0 and clinched the district championship with a 38-0 shutout win at Vinton Shellsburg on Friday. Jax Jungi ran for 2 scores, Quinton Schulte accounted for 3 more, as the Saints look to close out a perfect regular season tomorrow night at home when they host South Tama. The Xavier volleyball team competed in the Mississippi Valley Conference Tournament last Saturday in Iowa City. The Saints went 2-1 in pool play and then fell to Class 5A number 1 rated Cedar Falls in the quarterfinals in straight sets. The Saints will open regional play next Tuesday when they host the winner of the Mount Pleasant-Washington match. The Xavier cross-country teams competed in the Mississippi Valley Conference Valley Division meet last week at Seminole Valley in Cedar Rapids. The boys finished 3rd and the girls came home in 4th.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes. You sign up with your street address so you only get a reminder when it's our week.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Thursday night football kicking off tonight. Week 7 action. It's the Raiders hosting the Chiefs. And we will answer all of your fantasy football questions with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com tonight. I apologize. Normally we chat with him on Wednesday, and you have an opportunity to maybe beat some of your league mates to the waiver wire, or depending on whether or not that runs on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, at least to the free agent scraps. But Tristan will hopefully still be able to help you set your rosters this week. You can get your questions to us ahead of time on the Hertine and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600, and baseball people are questioning Ron Gardenhire's judgment for taking the Tigers gig at this point, and I think it probably speaks volumes to not a whole lot of people being interested in managing a team that very clearly is going to be near the bottom of the American League Central for the next 2 or 3 seasons at a minimum. I'm telling you, I know that farm system fairly well. They don't have a ton of guys on the way to help out. And you got rid of Justin Verlander, you got rid of Justin Upton, heck, you got rid of Justin Wilson and Alex Avila. That's a full teardown mode right there. We're going to continue talking college sports, Iowa State in particular, with Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports coming up at the bottom of the hour. We will also later on today hear from Fran McCaffrey. He was in New York City for Big Ten Men's Basketball Media Day. We've got that audio, but right now we've got Kyle Mann with another Midwest One Bank Big Board Update, Midwest One, where you're the one.
The official Big Ten preseason honors were released at Big Ten Media Day today in New York City. The Hawkeyes, unsurprisingly, didn't get any all-conference love, while Michigan State sophomore Miles Bridges was voted to be the Conference Player of the Year, as well as being a unanimous All-Big Ten selection. Wisconsin's Ethan Happ and Northwestern's Bryant McIntosh were also unanimous selections. The Big Ten also announced changes to its scheduling format. Beginning next season, the men's teams will play 20 conference games as opposed to 18, playing 7 teams once and 6 teams twice, while the women's teams will play 18 conference games instead of 16, 5 teams twice and 8 teams once. Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney also mentioned that he's considering Philadelphia and Baltimore as possible sites for the Big Ten tournament sometime after 2022. The UNI women's basketball team got a nice legacy commit yesterday. Iowa City West junior Kaylin Morgan announced on Twitter that she'll continue her career for the Panthers. Her brother Jeremy Morgan was a senior on last year's team, and her sister Michaela is a junior for the women's team this season. Tonight after the show on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, we're going to have some high school football action. Scott Unash will be on the call for Waterloo West and Cedar Rapids, Washington. And we're also going to have the Cubs holding on for dear life in Game 5 of the NLCS. It's Jose Quintana taking on Clayton Kershaw at Wrigley Field. First pitch is set for 7:08, and that'll be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Let's make someone a winner of a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill right now. We've got another one to give away coming up on the program tomorrow. But right now, if your caller number is 6 to 319-366-1600, you're going to be tonight's winner. La Cantina has three locations, one in Marion, one in downtown Cedar Rapids across from the Cell Center, and one in the Fountains off Edgewood. Check them out online before you go, lacantina319.com. And more importantly, keep them in mind for your next business meeting, family gathering, or catering, and even tailgating. La Cantina, they do it all. We'll find out who our winner is next before we bring on Alex Halstead at 24/7 Sports. Hour number two of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing on all three KGYM frequencies. Back with more after this.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with the people and answers you need at their next CPAP BiPAP clinic. Get details at careprohealthservices.com.
Did you work out a little too hard? Play a bit too rough at the weekend tailgate? Or maybe overdo it with yard work? Whatever it was, you're feeling it today.
Ooh.
So let CarePro Home Medical help. CarePro Home Medical has something to soothe that soreness, including Biofreeze, ice packs, cold therapy wraps, and pain relief devices to get you back to feeling better. Even weekend warriors need a little help sometimes. Visit CarePro Home Medical in Cedar Rapids or Coralville and connect with people and answers you need.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The Cubs are trying to crawl back into the NLCS against the Dodgers. Game 5 tonight at Wrigley Field, with the Dodgers still leading 3-1. Clayton Kershaw and Jose Quintana, the starters, and our ESPN Radio coverage starts at 7 Eastern. Game 6 in the ALCS is tomorrow night in Houston. The Yankees lead the Astros 3-2. Every game of the baseball postseason is on ESPN Radio. Indians outfielder Mike Brantley will need 5 months to recover after right ankle surgery. The team holds an option on Brantley for next year. The NFL will check into why Panthers quarterback Cam Newton didn't speak with the media yesterday or today. He could be subject to a fine. Chiefs and Raiders tonight in Oakland. It's the first game of Week 7. The Chiefs have won 12 straight divisional games. That's the longest current streak in the NFL. Warriors forward Draymond Green is doubtful for tomorrow night's game against the Pelicans. There is no new structural damage in his left knee after the opener against the Rockets.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you three. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. Three ways you could save 15% or more.
At Lowe's, we know that pros need to be ready. Ready to frame, ready to drill, ready to hang and install. And during Lowe's Ready to Refresh event, pro customers should get ready to save. Now through October 22nd at Lowe's, pro customers can get up to 10% off select in-stock interior and entry doors from Reliabilt, Masonite, and Geldwin. Plus, buy three rolls of 3M Safe Release Painter's Tape and get one free. See lowesforpros.com or the Pro Desk for details. Selection varies by location, U.S. only.
We've reached it, the point where the only way to make Tuesdays any better is by having more boneless wings. That's why here at Buffalo Wild Wings, we've invented Boneless Tuesdays. It's a celebration where if you order boneless wings at full price, you'll get another of the same size for free. This works for dine-in or takeout. Every little bit counts. And on Tuesdays, every boneless wing counts as two. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings. Beer. Sports.
Prices and participation vary. Valid only on Tuesdays while supplies last. Tax and gratuity extra. Additional restrictions apply. See participating location for details.
At Advance Auto Parts, we offer you the quality parts you want and knowledge you need. And we're always looking for ways to help you save. Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil High Mileage or conventional motor oil for just $19.99. Plus, find great prices on Advance's full line of oil filters. Go to Advance or participating CarQuest Auto Parts stores to take advantage of this great offer while it lasts. Advance Auto Parts, where oil is priced like it should be.
This week, tune into the Paul Feinbaum Show as I discuss
the delicious taste of ice cold Dr. Pepper.
Larry Culpepper? Hey, I'm in the middle of a promo.
Sorry, Finey. The fans are craving so much Dr. Pepper, I thought I'd borrow some of your airtime.
Security!
Hey, look, whether you're watching college football or calling into some guy's radio show, Dr. Pepper makes college football that much sweeter. So grab some at your local store today.
Can I have one of yours?
Hey, we got a caller. You're on the Larry Culpepper Show with your host, Larry Culpepper.
That's it.
That's Dr. Pepper, the one fans crave.
High school football and Game 5 of the National League Championship Series from Wrigley Field on the way for you tonight. High school football will air from Kingston Stadium on 1600 AM with Scott Unash on the call. Our FM listeners, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, you guys will get ESPN's presentation of the Dodgers and the Cubs. It's Clayton Kershaw against a left-handed pitcher who's not as good as Clayton Kershaw. And, of course, the Cubs need to win tonight if the series is going to shift back to Chavez Ravine. Bob Nightingale of USA Today reporting that the Tigers indeed have decided on Ron Gardenhire. However, they have not hammered out any of the contract details, so something could still fall apart there. But it does look like the former Twins manager will be back in the American League Central beginning in 2018. It's Big Ten Men's Basketball Media Day today in New York City. It was Iowa State Media Day earlier in the week. Joining us now to talk Cyclone sports, it's Alex Halstead from the 24/7 Sports Network and Cyclone Alert. And Alex, let's go ahead and get started with basketball here because this is a very interesting year in season number 3 for Steve Prohm as far as what he's got to work with on that roster.
Yeah, this is kind of completely different, you know. Just as Media Day happened this week and they have a scrimmage against Nebraska coming up and end of the season right around the corner, you know, they only returned really 3 players who played any kind of significant roles last year, and that's Donovan Jackson, Nick Weaver-Babb, and Solomon Young. And 2 of those 3, you know, came off the bench, and Solomon Young didn't start till midseason. So, you know, from their 6 main seniors last year, they graduate 67.1 points per game. So it's complete overhaul, and nobody knows what to expect. You know, maybe they'll be a decent team in the Big 12, not necessarily last place, or maybe they'll be towards the bottom. I think there's just a lot of questions as we get closer to November.
Of those 3 players that you mentioned returning who played at least some kind of role on last year's team, who do you think is going to have to make the biggest leap and take on the biggest role this season?
Well, I think, you know, Donovan Jackson has to be the guy that leads that team. You know, when you see the early projections come out, you know, Sports Illustrated had its projections, and he was at, you know, 15-point-something points per game, and I think that's the kind of jump he needs to make. But I think when you talk about the guy that needs to make the biggest jump out of those 3, it's probably Nick Weaver-Babb, because I think we're going to see, just with more minutes, we're going to see Solomon Young and Donovan Jackson do more. But I think Nick Weaver-Babb's the one that's got to, you know, in addition to having a bigger role, he's got to, you know, improve in a couple areas. You know, we saw him, his 3-point shooting wasn't great last year, but, you know, maybe that was due in part to, you know, sometimes you got to get into a rhythm, and when you're just in for a few minutes here and there, it's hard to get that rhythm. So that's what Iowa State's hoping, is that he can take a role in that regard. And I think we'll see him used as a facilitator as well as one of their three primary ball handlers. So he's probably got to take the biggest step in terms of improvement. But I think, you know, Donovan Jackson has to be that leading scorer for them.
A lot of hype around Lindell Wigginton coming in, a five-star recruit, certainly deserves it. What are your personal expectations for what we'll see out of him this winter?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, you know, physically he just looks like someone who can play immediately. You know, some freshmen come in and they're a little bit smaller and you know it's going to take them time. That was kind of the case with Monte Morris. You know, he was really small when he came in, and by conference season he was starting, but he didn't start right away. Lindell Wigginton will start right away just from the virtue of they're going to need him to, and he's physically ready to. You know, Steve Prohm said he thinks he can guard anybody in terms of, you know, he's got the size to guard in this league, and so that's not really a concern. But in terms of the expectations for him, I think, you know, it's got to be at 10-plus points per game. You know, I think if you're right at that 10, you know, that at least gives him something. Maybe it's a little higher. It's hard to say right now. But the one thing that's going to be interesting is how does he get those points? Because, you know, Steve Prohm's had different point guards, and, you know, the easiest comparisons, you know, Monte Morris. But him and Monte Morris aren't really the same player at all, you know. Lindell Wigginton's a guy that likes to drive, get to the rim, will get to the free throw line. He can hit three-point shots, but it's not going to be the main part of his game early on. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see him play for the first time and watch him develop. But he's got a lot of athleticism, but he's going to be a different type of point guard than, you know, maybe some of the ones we've seen in the past that can hit three-pointers.
Alex, I've asked a lot of Cyclone fans and Cyclone media members this question. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. This team has made five consecutive NCAA tournaments, but with all the turnover and all the new players, would 18 or 19 wins and an NIT appearance be a successful season in a lot of people's eyes?
Yeah, I think it probably would. I think in the spring there was a hope that they could go land some of those graduate transfers and kind of bridge it a little bit more and go to another tournament. And you know, Steve Prohm said that's still the expectation. If you set the bar lower and lower than than the NCAA tournament, that he thinks it's kind of a disservice to, you know, the players they have. You know, I think they can be that bubble type team. You know, when you look at what TCU did last year, I think they can be that type of team this year. TCU, I think, finished seventh in the Big 12. They end up getting, you know, one of the top NIT seeds, and they were right there through the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City with a chance to get in, and they didn't. But I think Iowa State has a potential to be that type of team if the right pieces click. You know, they do have Lindell Wigginton coming in, and he's obviously highly regarded, as you mentioned. Saran Talley comes in from Old Dominion. He's a grad transfer that's got 2 years of eligibility. You know, he's considered one of the better grad transfers, you know, that's arrived out of school this year. And we've heard a lot about how much they've liked him through 12, 13 practices. So if some of those pieces fall into line, I think they can, you know, still compete for that seventh type spot in the Big 12, which some years the Big 12 gets seven in. And so that's probably best case. And then, like you said, I think if they do just get to the NIT and this is maybe that reloading type year going into 18, 19, I think a lot of fans have kind of set on the fact that there are so many unknowns, this might have to be a reloading year, that they'd be okay with that.
Is there one player on that roster that you would single out right now that you think is going to surprise Cyclone fans this year?
Well, I think Talley's the one that comes to mind just because I think his story's a little bit interesting. Obviously, you know, he comes from Old Dominion as a grad transfer, and he's got 2 years of eligibility, and so that's a positive, is that, you know, even if it takes him a little bit of time this year, they'll have him for next year. But you know, nobody really knew what to expect from him, and you know, it's still a little too early to know what to expect from him. But you know, these projections come out, and he's supposed to be, you know, he's projected to be one of the top transfer scorers in college basketball this year. And we just keep hearing buzz about him from practices. We haven't got to see them play yet, but you know, he can really drive at 6'7" and on that wing at that three spot. But they're going to use him as a four when they go to small ball lineups, and so I think he could be a guy that really surprises because he didn't get here until late August because he took 27 credits through the summer to graduate in 3 years from Old Dominion. So nobody really knew what to expect. Nobody's really seen him. There's not a whole lot of film out there on him, but it sounds like he's really impressed them so far, and I think he could be that surprise guy and maybe an X factor if they do want to exceed expectations that have been set for them on the outside so far.
Alex, transitioning to football, the Cyclones are 4-2, heading to Lubbock to take on an explosive offense and somewhat of an improved defense in the Texas Tech Red Raiders. What's it going to take for Iowa State to come out of this with a win?
Well, I think the defense has to continue to play the way it has recently. You know, they've played some, you know, good offenses. Obviously, I think, you know, Oklahoma is probably one of the best offenses in the country. And, you know, they came up with a couple things that they needed to in that game to have that upset. You know, they recovered a fumble inside the five. Oklahoma missed a field goal, and they capitalized on those things. And I think when you're on the road, you got to get some of those things. But I think the defense just has to slow Texas Tech down. You know, that was kind of their game plan against Oklahoma, was they knew Baker Mayfield and that offense could score. But if they were going to score, don't give them those 50, 60-yard plays that they score quick, and it makes it more difficult for you. So if Texas Tech, they're going to score. You know, like you said, they're really explosive. And Szymanek's a senior, and seniors in Cliff Kingsbury's offense have typically done well at quarterback. So he's having a good season. You know they're going to score, but you can't give them those 50, 60-yard plays that, you know, put you behind. So I think defensively they just have to make them earn what they get. And then it's going to be interesting offensively, because we saw Kyle Kemp play well against Oklahoma. Didn't get to see much of him against Kansas because of the weather. And he hasn't made any mistakes so far. He's been a guy that he's not going to maybe make these huge passes down the field, but he's managed things well. So I think if they don't turn the ball over and they make Texas Tech, you know, work for what they get, this is definitely a game they can win. But Texas Tech looks much better than, you know, I think anyone expected them to preseason.
Alex Halstead joining us from 24/7 Sports. What's been that key to the improved defensive play this year for the Cyclones, in your opinion?
Well, I think it starts up front with the defensive line. Their defensive line has been, you know, just much improved. You know, Ray Lima is a guy that came in as a top 50 JUCO transfer, and he's still a sophomore. He's actually got 3 years to play, but you know, you don't see the tackles and the stuff there, but he's taking on double teams, and he's really kind of setting the tone for them on the defensive line. We talked about this before, but they look more like a Big 12 line size-wise, and they're kind of playing like it now. But, you know, that's one thing, and I think the other thing is, you know, maybe a little bit of credit to defensive coordinator John Haycock. They last week were mostly in a three-man front, but sometimes they'll go to a four-man front. They just kind of switch back and forth to try to confuse offenses. You know, I think their game plans have been pretty good in that regard, but it kind of think it starts up front with that defensive line. And, you know, one thing that Matt Campbell's talked about recently is that their leading tacklers finally are starting to be their linebackers, which is a very positive sign for them, because when you look at some of the years past when they haven't been as good, their corners are all up there in the tackle department. And, you know, now they're starting to, you know, make tackles at the point of attack and not let all those guys get to the secondary.
Alex, hate to put you on the spot here, but 6 weeks through the season, 6 weeks to go, halfway through this 2017 year, who would you say the MVP of the first half of the season has been for this football team?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I think I'd probably go maybe David Montgomery, just because I think he in several games has kind of set the tone for them. And, you know, I think they'd like their rushing game to be a little bit better than it has. You know, when you look at some of his numbers, you know, he's not rushing for the yardage I think that they would like him to. I think that's a combination of situational, and also the offensive line is better pass protectors than they are run blockers. But, you know, Montgomery, just some of the plays he's made, you know, I don't know if they win that Oklahoma game without him. And just from what we hear from other players, when they talk about guys who maybe help shift things for them in the offseason and into the season, even, it's been kind of David Montgomery, which is surprising for a sophomore guy, but I'd probably go him, especially if, just when you're looking at the offensive side.
Alex, this is a pretty good run that Iowa State has been on. Is this rekindling bowl talk among the fans, or are they still a little skeptical at this point?
It's definitely rekindled it. And, you know, when you lose that game, you know, a few weeks back to Texas, I think things had kind of died off a little bit, just in terms of, you know, kind of more of a wait and see approach. But when they beat Oklahoma and then took care of Kansas, once you get to 4-2 midseason, and I think it's definitely rekindled. I think the skepticism is a lot of fans don't want to get their hopes up until there's a little bit more proof. You know, that they're happy and I think thrilled with the 4-2 start, considering that one of those wins came against Oklahoma when it was starting to look like maybe they'd go 3-3 midway. But, you know, I think this weekend would go a long ways. You know, when you start 4-5-2, if they win this game, you know, then you just got to win one of your last five. You got Baylor still out there. That that would be an interesting game, and there's winnable games still out there. So I think this week obviously would go a long way, which is an obvious statement. But the talks are definitely there, but I think it's been so long, you know, since 2012, that most fans, I think, are kind of taking it week by week still, at least, you know, for a few more weeks.
You look at some of the toss-up games, and I'll even throw Texas Tech in there this weekend on the road, Baylor on the road, Kansas State at the end of the year on the road. Does the fact that they went on the road to beat Oklahoma give fans and people more confidence that they will reach that six-win mark?
Yeah, I think just what they've done on the road gives them a little bit more confidence that they can at least stick in these games. I think, you know, like you said, winning that game at Oklahoma, not just on the road, but I think it gives them confidence that they beat what most people think is the toughest team in the Big 12. They did it on the road, that whether they win or lose any of these last six, that they can compete in all six of them. You know, even TCU and Oklahoma State, those games are at home. You can at least be competitive in those games, I think, is the mindset of most people now that they saw what they did against Oklahoma. Now, you can get beat by pretty much any of those teams as well, which I think kind of brings it back down to earth a little bit. But what they've done on the road, they've won three straight road games dating back to last year, which is something we haven't seen in a long time. So that is I think the positive is that they've proven they can do it. The negative to the last part of their schedule, these last six games, is that four of the six are on the road. So, like, if you had Texas Tech, Baylor, K-State at home, you'd be pretty much split probably in Vegas or maybe a slight favorite in some of those games. And going on the road just adds another hurdle to get to that six-win total.
Alex, appreciate it as always. We'll catch up with you down the line. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports talking a little Cyclones with us, and we'll have that game for you on 1600 AM Saturday morning. John Walters on the call, and be listening next Monday when we chat with John at 4:30, because Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner, has given us a couple tickets to ISU's homecoming game against TCU at Jack Trice Stadium next Saturday. That is, I believe, a 2:30 kickoff, if I recall correctly, and we'll be giving those tickets out during the John Walters segment on Monday. So Cyclone fans, we've got an opportunity to send you to homecoming in Ames. All you need to do is tune in on Monday when we chat with John, and maybe we'll be talking about another Iowa State win. It would be three in a row, and yeah, then the bowl talk is definitely reasonable for fans. Boy, but you look back on the Texas game and the Iowa game, there's a lot of woulda, coulda, shouldas on Iowa State's schedule right now because of the upset over Oklahoma.
I think they look back at the Iowa game, if they don't make a bowl game, and think that is a huge missed opportunity. But it's part of it. Like, you knew that they were struggling to win close games. They couldn't pull that one out. You got to give credit to Iowa for coming back. And Iowa State didn't make enough plays. But that win against Oklahoma, I think, will jumpstart them. I'm not ready to say that they're going to beat Texas Tech on the road, but I do agree with Alex. I think they will be competitive in every game that they play from here on out. The problem is they're going to have to find two more wins, and their toss-up games, like I mentioned, against Baylor and Kansas State, and even this weekend against Texas Tech, and if you want to throw West Virginia in there as well, are all on the road.
5:51. By the way, I don't think we congratulated Marcus in Cedar Rapids. He was tonight's winner of the $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. We've got one more of those to give away this week, and we'll do so tomorrow from Iowa City. It's the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire, lindertire.com, for all of those tire needs, especially something to think about as the season begins to change from fall to winter. And traction, that's the name of the game, right? Check us out tomorrow. We're going to be there from 4 until 7. Happy hour starts at 3, goes until 7. And, of course, always great food specials there, as well as Coach's Corner Sports Pub, the home for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. We'll step aside and take a quick break. When we come back, Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM.
The Florida Keys were pounded by Hurricane Irma. I'm Jonathan Smith, proud owner of four radio stations in the fabulous Florida Keys. Our island chain economy depends on tourism. You can help us with our recovery, and it won't cost a single tax dollar or require a monetary donation. Just plan a vacation here. Some of our businesses have closed and others face an uncertain future. But many of our hotels, resorts, fishing boat captains, dive boats, and restaurants are open for business and are welcoming guests. We air a daily fishing report on our Keys radio stations, and the show host, who has been sport fishing our abundant water since 1964, wants to personally invite you to visit.
Hi, I'm Captain Skip Radin of the New Blue Chip 2 sport fishing boat in Amarada, inviting you all to come on down and see us. We're open for business.
Join us for a sun-soaked Florida Keys vacation and contribute to the economic recovery from hurricane damage. Thanks to member radio stations of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank, like this one, for donating the airtime for this invitation to visit us in the fabulous Florida Keys.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Welcome back in, 5:54, or I should say thanks for sticking around with us. That's probably more like it. Todd Brommelkamp, Alex Kuhn, Kyle Mann, the three of us with you until 7 o'clock tonight. High school football and Major League Baseball on the way. Here now to tell you all about it is the aforementioned Kyle Mann. It's a Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
The official Big Ten preseason honors were released at Big Ten Media Day today in New York City. The Hawkeyes, unsurprisingly, didn't get any all-conference love, while Michigan State sophomore Miles Bridges was voted to be the conference player of the year, as well as being a unanimous all-Big Ten selection. Wisconsin's Ethan Happ and Northwestern's Brian McIntosh were also unanimous selections. The Big Ten also announced changes to its scheduling format. Beginning next season, the men's teams will play 20 conference games as opposed to 18, playing 7 teams once and 6 teams twice, while the women's teams will play 18 conference games instead of 16, 5 teams twice and 8 teams once. Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney also mentioned that he's considering Philadelphia and Baltimore as possible sites for the Big Ten tournament sometime after 2022. The UNI women's basketball team got a nice legacy commitment yesterday. Iowa City West junior Kaylin Morgan announced on Twitter that she'll continue her career for the Panthers. Her brother Jeremy Morgan was a senior on last year's team, and her sister Michaela is a junior for the women's team this year. Tonight after the show on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, we're going to have some high school football action. Scott Unash will be on the call for Waterloo West and Cedar Rapids, Washington. And we're also going to have the Cubs holding on for dear life in Game 5 of the NLCS. It's Jose Quintana taking on Clayton Kershaw at Wrigley Field. First pitch is set for 7:08, and that'll be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
All right. Thank you very much, Kyle. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com is going to be along with us to answer your fantasy football questions in a matter of minutes. As a matter of fact, you can get those to us right now on the Hertine and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. Alex, Chiefs and Raiders tonight. Your thoughts?
I was ready to buy in on the Kansas City Chiefs. Their injuries are concerning me a little bit. And a bad year for the NFL just got a whole lot worse with the loss of Aaron Rodgers. It just seems like everything's coming at that league from every different angle, and everything has gone wrong so far this season. And the Chiefs are experiencing some injuries, but this is a good team. And what's happening to the Raiders with the loss of Derek Carr is unfortunate. I thought they had a real chance last year in the playoffs if he stays healthy, because that was a very complete team. I think the Chiefs win tonight and move to 6-1 on the season.
Well, Tristan can help. There's a number of high-profile players who are appearing on the injury report at this point, and I think it'll be interesting to see if this is different with Tristan on Thursday as opposed to Wednesday, or whether it's the same old, same old. But it is one day closer to guys being ruled out and things of that nature, and we'll see how this goes. Again, get your questions to us, 319-366-1600. Speaking of questions, we've got one for you today at KGYMRadio.com. Will Clayton Kershaw pitch the Dodgers to their first World Series since 1988 tonight at Wrigley Field? Yes or no? Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway there on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's. next to the Home Depot. I was shown a photo earlier today of a chicken fried steak and mashed potatoes from Emil's Hideaway. And had I had a little bit more time for lunch, perhaps I would have ventured to that side of town. 319-366-1600. That's the Hertine and Stocker text line. Get those fantasy football questions to us now, because Tristan joins us next.